Lawrence Drive-In Double Feature presents 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Iced. All right, it's episode 65, everyone. 65 of 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Iced. We are tooling through these movies. Forgive any strange ambient noise you're hearing around me today. It's May 2nd, 2018, as I'm recording this. I got a dog in my lap who won't go away. Hi, George. He's sweet. And also, I have a window open because it's chilly out. For May, this is nice here in L.A. So you'll hear some background noise on occasion during this. But anyways, regardless. What was I saying? Minute 65, Blood Lake, Iced, 1 Minute With. Minute-by-minute podcast covering 1987's Blood Lake, 1988's Iced. It's fun. One's at the lake in the summer, one's in the snow in the winter, and we're having a great time. How did minute 64 end? Yep, Brian, graphically, and Kim, sort of at a distance, vaguely, got killed by our chunky killer. Bye, guys. And Mike has just said that he's going to go out to look for them. Let's see where he goes.
Brian! You
Hey, excuse me. Have y'all seen a guy and a girl hanging out around here a little while ago?
Yeah, they've been making all sorts of noise. Boy, you can't get no fishing done around here.
They've been loud.
Where that?
I call this minute Looking for Dead Brian and Dead Kim. It's a fun minute. Yeah, so it just starts off with, it starts off with little Tony and Susan sort of looking at a magazine. And Mike gets up and goes, and they lock the door behind him, and he steps out, and of course he says a-hole as he goes out, and then instantly when the music starts up, that's killer point of view. He is now back to the house. He did the killing, he went back to the house, and Mike walks a little bit. He doesn't walk very far. It seems like it's sort of a continuous walk here. It does, if you watch it, it does look like he steps out of the house, you get the killer point of view of him walking from the house towards the lake, then it cuts to him walking at the lake, and then there are two people like on a nearby dock. But again, you know, the people you see on the dock, it looks like a guy and a kid on the dock trying to do some night fishing. They seem very close to that dock and that tree where those two young men got killed the night before, unless Mike has walked some distance. Which doesn't seem to be implied by how he's walking. It doesn't like it's like a continuous series of shots. You see him walking towards us, killer point of view. Then you see him walking again without the killer point of view, and it looks like a continuous series of shots. It doesn't look like there's a break in time anywhere in there. Not that I need a clock to roll and tell me, you know, that time is passing or anything like that. You can hear birds. Birds are crazy. There's this one bird outside that whenever one of my dogs go out, the bird always sort of dive bombs her. We call it the D-bird, the douche bird. I think I can see him. So, yeah, it's strange because it the way it looks is it's sort of implied that there are people, like, right at the either... No, there isn't really a dock next on the, if you walk down towards the lake, there isn't really a dock near it by on the left, nor really on the... It looks like these two jackasses are on their dock hanging out doing fishing. Now, I'm sure it must not be that. There must be a cut. He must be walking. I'm sure he went out and he probably could see that maybe the boat's gone. I guess the boat's gone and he's kind of walking along the lake looking for them. But that's not kind of the way it's edited, which makes it slightly strange. And that guy at the... I don't know for certain. Maybe we'll see in the credits. That guy who says, you can't get any fishing done around, making so much noise. He sounds like the guy who was the lake patrol guy earlier, and he could be. It's really dark. It's tough to see. All you can see is, like, he has a white shirt and the kid has white shorts and white socks on, and they're doing some late night fishing. So after several minutes of Voyager and nothing particular happening, we got about 15 seconds of excitement, And then it's calmed back down to Blood Lake levels, which aren't a problem. But not, again, not much happens here. And let me just tell you a quick story. I got called an a-hole on Monday. And why did I get called an a-hole on Monday? So I'm waiting for the bus. I wait for the bus at, I think it's Encino, Balboa, and Victory. I wait for a commuter express, which is a fairly comfortable bus to take me to my day job, which, you know, has its charms, but can be exhausting. And so there was, I think I said a few episodes ago that a woman got hit, I think she's still in a coma, got hit by a car a couple months ago at that intersection. She basically, she went up to the light, and the light was, it was like, you know, they timed the lights out here. So it was like 5, 4, 3, and then she took off running across the street when there was like 1 second left, and basically a guy who had the right of way sort of wasn't fully paying attention and just took off and hit her. And it was awful. And everyone's kind of very cautious out there, but we got this one loudmouth guy who loves, who I guess knew the woman. He wasn't there when it happened. He knew the woman, but he's always kind of, he's one of those guys. He's sort of a know-it-all guy, and he gets on my nerves. I don't talk to him. But he loves jaywalking. He loves, because the way it works is, and this story won't be too long, but you get the Orange Line, which is this bus that goes across, cuts across the valley. And he gets off the Orange Line bus, and you basically get off the bus and you walk about a block to the light. You cross the street and then you walk about a half block back on the other side of the street, and that's where the stop is. So everyone goes up to the light, crosses. What he likes to do is he likes to, at his first chance, he likes to run out and jaywalk across. So he's crossing illegally, and there have been a couple moments where it's been like, ooh, man, don't do that. But the other day I called him on it. And, you know, I told him, I said, I don't think it's... There was more to it than that, but I'm telling the story quickly. I basically said, you know, hey, man, I don't think you should be jaywalking like that, especially since that lady got hit. I just don't think it's a good idea to be doing that. Just go to the street. Because the thing is, he's not jaywalking just because we have seen him on more than one occasion when there are, like, people at the light, you know, and we get in a line to get on the bus, so if you're farther up in the line, you get a better seat sometimes. And I have seen him, like, if there are three people waiting to cross legally, he'll run across so he can beat them there. And this, he'll do that with little old ladies and stuff. And I told him, I said, more or less, you know, Jaywalk, you shouldn't do it. You know, it's not, I don't think it's a good idea, especially when that lady got hit. And he looked at me and he said, no, she didn't do it right. I jaywalk intelligently. And I said, intelligent jaywalking, what is that, like intelligent shoplifting? And he paused and he looked at me and he said, asshole. And he got on the bus. He hasn't talked to me since. But that's my asshole story. My a-hole story. I could let that slide out. But yeah, but that ties in with this. You know, I didn't quite have the same feeling. It's kind of too bad that the thought he has when he steps out of his very good friend Brian is a-hole. And, you know, I like, too, the thought that he's still kind of, by calling him an a-hole, it's still kind of treating it semi-light. You know, not like, okay, they haven't come back and they're probably dead, but what an a-hole for doing this and making us worry. Well, there is a reason to worry. Oh, boy. So, is there a reason to worry over on Iced, however? Yes, there is. John and Diane are dead. They're outside. They're dead. And Jeanette and Carl were sitting in the living room. I'm not sure where Corey and Trina are, but Jeanette and Carl are in the living room. Carl's pouring himself a drink and about to tell Jeanette something or other she should be doing that night. Let's listen.
Sleep with me tonight, just in case.
In case of what?
There is a ghost.
You're really something, you know that?
I would love to make the blood pulse hard in your veins again.
You know, if this is one of Eddie's little tricks, I swear he will be with Jeff when I get through with him. I can't believe I said that.
No, it's okay. Your mind's on other things. Like Playboy real estate tycoons. Yeah, you two are looking pretty cozy.
I feel really stupid throwing myself at him like that.
He wasn't exactly repulsed.
Thank you. That I...
So Carl and Jeanette had a little something going at one time, and she wound up with Eddie. As both of those guys are doofuses, I think Alex is probably her best choice in all of this, as he has the best gloves. No, that's, yeah, it's, and forgive me again, folks, I'm still recording this at the same time I recorded the Blood Lake stuff, so I've still got a nice window open, there's a cool breeze coming in, so forgive any outside noise. But, yes, interesting thing with that minute, all one shot, the camera is sort of on the floor, semi-looking, I'm on the floor, kind of in the back, semi-looking up, and you get Carl sort of over on the left, sitting in front of the table, drinking, and you get Jeanette kind of pacing back and forth, not quite in the foreground, but sort of-ish in there, and all one shot. We don't get that often in here. There's some, I'd love to know if, because we've talked about, and then I finished the sentence. No, we've talked about some strange moments of insert shots and things, like with Trini, and those odd shots where she's not quite reacting as she maybe should, or they cut to her a few seconds before they should cut to her because reaction doesn't seem quite right. And then there are other times when there doesn't seem to be the proper coverage. Some scenes seem to have absolutely enough coverage. Some don't. This could use a couple closer shots of Carl, like when Carl says, you know, I want to make the blood pump in your veins again, harden your veins again. That should like be a close-up of him or her, you know, and there should be more close-ups of them. But the camera just sits there the whole time, and the actors do fine with it. It's just you watch and you think, why aren't we closer to them? We should be closer to them, and we're not, which is strange, but that's the way it is. I would bet you cash money they just I'm wondering if either one, I'm thinking of To All a Good Night here, where they didn't get a lot of the coverage that they needed in shots, and that was because David Hess had never really directed before, and he just didn't do the coverage that he needed. But Jeff Quitney does plenty of coverage in other scenes, so I'm wondering if it's something where, one, they couldn't do the coverage for time or money, they lost the coverage, or maybe even, like I said a few minutes ago, when you could see the killer on top of the car before he slides down, and you think to yourself, okay, well, maybe Diane can't see that, but maybe she should see. The truck she's going into isn't that tall. There's a guy on top of it. There's a guy on top. You know, so when you see that guy on top of it, your first thought is either, one, she's not paying attention, or you feel clever because you're like, oh, I spotted him. He's going to do something cool. They set that up. Or you think the framing's off and we shouldn't be able to see him. And I'm wondering if it's something where maybe at the last minute, or maybe they meant to do this all on film. I mean, this is 88. Forgive me if I'm wrong, Doom Asylum, as the time I'm saying, Doom Asylum has just been announced. Arrow Video is releasing it on Blu-ray, I believe on Blu-ray. If I'm wrong, please tell me. I thought Doom Asylum was like Iced, shot on film, transferred to video, but apparently it's not. Same with Offerings from 89. I thought Offerings was like that too. I mean, it was certainly direct to video, but Offerings was all on film because we have a Blu-ray of it now, and it looks strange and yellowy and pasty, and I absolutely adore it. But Iced is definitely on film, finished on video. So I'm wondering if possibly it was just a question of they didn't transfer those scenes over, or they couldn't transfer them over, or something happened to those scenes. So it was like when they got to the shot, it was like, okay, we need the inserts. Oh, no one transferred those over to video. Well, we got to do that. No, we don't have time anymore. Just maybe there was something wrong with the shot list that Quitney presented, you know, where he said, okay, I need this take transferred over, this take, and he just forgot, or something was lost. I'm wondering. I mean, that seems like a strange thing to say, but that's one of the things when you watch a movie like this minute by minute, you look at some of these things in depth like that. And yeah, it's strange that this is one shot, because there's a lot of emotional stuff going on. You know, even like the moment where she says, if he's doing this, I'm going to put him where Jeff is. And then she stops and goes, I can't believe I said that. But the thing is, it's like she says it kind of quietly, and she's kind of half turned away from the camera, and the look on her face that you could see is sort of like, oh, I can't believe I said that. You know, it's kind of like she's half chastising herself, half almost laughing at the absurdity of all of it. But you don't quite get that, because she says it rather quietly, and she's a bit of a distance away from us, which is too bad. So this is a good minute, and it does, you know, it does give you the fact that they were together, and it does give the fact that Carl is, you know, giving her the compliment and about, you know, goofing around with the real estate tycoon, and you know, that's fun. But there is also just this feeling of we should be getting some more shots here. There should be some more insert shots. This shouldn't all be this strange long shot, which is too bad. But so the minute ends with her saying whatever it was she said, you know, I will take, and then the minute ends. So, and she kind of faces him because she's been pacing back and forth to his side, and when she says that to him, she says that I will take, and she faces him. That's where the minute ends. All right, so what do we have going on here? At the end of the 65th minute of Blood Lake and Ice, we got a couple dead over in Blood Lake. We got a couple dead over in Iced. There is a feeling, possibly, with the gang in Blood Lake that something may have happened to Brian and Kim. We're meeting some good old folks who are doing some night fishing. And in Iced, we're just still talking about what's going on in the weirdness of the evening. Ah, this.